Are you ready to buy or sell your home? The Jim Allen Group is a nationally recognized and award-winning real estate team in the Triangle, dedicated to providing exceptional service to meet your needs. With the latest insights and expert market knowledge, they'll make your home buying and selling journey as smooth as possible. Don't wait. Head over to jimallen.com and start your next move today. That's jimallen.com. The Jim Allen Group, your partner in real estate.
One constant feeling reigns over the 130-plus year history of NC State Wolfpack football. Hope. And when there's hope, well, Pack fans can always relate. Pack family, time for a true look at your team. Expert analysis, special guests, and a Carter Finley-sized bag full of X's and O's. Let's get hooked up for Pack Therapy. Here are your hosts, Tim Donnelly and Wolfpack great Mike Lennon.
Welcome into another edition of the Pack Therapy Podcast, an emergency edition of the Pack Therapy Podcast, because the positive vibes, the positive momentum, I don't know if it completely screeched to a halt today, but there was a definite roadblock. I'm Tim Donnelly, Mike Lennon, former NC State quarterback, longtime NFL quarterback, my co-host. Joining you, here's how it goes. I thought our next podcast was going to be all about coming out of the bye week. You beat Clemson, you come back, you beat Miami going away. The defense is playing lights out. MJ Morris is doing enough on the offense. Full steam ahead. If you win three of your next four, including the bowl game, you tie for the most wins under Dave Doran in NC State. There's so much positivity. We were looking to get former players on. We were just going to nostalgia walk our way down a really fun pod. And then today, the reports start trickling out there. Wolfpacker had it first. MJ Morris electing to redshirt. This conversation, according to Wolfpacker, came out, took place on Sunday. Pack Pride. There's so many different pieces of information coming from different publications. Pack Pride reporting that he was working with the scout team. Meanwhile, Brennan Armstrong was working with the ones. News and Observer posted some things, then took them down. There's enough smoke at this point, and WRAL has spoken to Eddie Morris, his dad. Enough smoke at this point to understand that MJ Morris is redshirting. And it seems to have come from his camp, not the coaches telling him to. So, Mike, as a quarterback that's navigated life in Raleigh, can you see why this would be the decision for MJ Morris?
I can see why. I'm still surprised. I mean, I can see why, because he wants to have an extra year to play football and to make more money in the NIL mm-hmm. world. Did I expect it to happen in this fashion? Absolutely not. I think, what was it now, four or 5 weeks ago when they made the switch to MJ, I fully anticipated MJ would be the starter for the rest of the year. Unless, honestly, I think I thought of it in two ways. Is if okay. One, he completely fell apart and was a mess and they needed to switch back to Brennan. Or it was almost like he was playing so well, but they weren't winning enough. We're like, honestly, even if they had won what their record is now, but there's like a very small chance to get to the ACC championship. And they're like, you know what? He's played so well. I want him to be our quarterback for three more years rather than two. Let's redshirt him. I did not think it would come in the fashion of him deciding to. And I just don't know if I get it. I mean,
that was my question, because I'm looking at
my
it.
First
my mind's exploding.
Is I see that his dad says he's not leaving the program, which is great that he's not leaving this year. I don't think he's going to be the quarterback for NC State next year after seeing this news.
Literally, my next question for you was how can you walk back into the locker room next year and expect people to depend on you when, I mean, you've won six games, you're 6-3, you're 3-1 with you as the starter, you have three games left and you're making this decision.
I don't even know if it's as much about that to me. It's about, I don't know if he did enough to say he should be the starter next year. Like, he made a couple good throws, but I mean, the offense completely changed when they put in the little shovel pass jet sweeps mm-hmm. to Casey Concepcion. I mean, you know, people always say, could I complete a pass in the NFL? You know, could you take a random guy off the street and have him complete a pass in the NFL? He can do that. I mean, those are rushing yards. Those aren't passing yards, and they're not throwing the ball down the field. I saw something today. He's completed like one out of 18 passes or something like that, past 20 yards. Like, and to go further along, and I like MJ as a player. I like him as a person. I don't know how much teams are going to be coming calling for him. The other schools, you know, like you're only as good as what you've recently done, and the tape out there right now, I'm not sure if people are going to be knocking down his door to get him to come to their program and pay him a big amount of money on top of that.
Yeah, a few observations on what you just said. One, his stats right now look significant, because I've read all of the different articles and everything trying to react to this news. His stats look significantly better when you include last year, right? So when you say like over his 9 games, here's what he has, I'm like, oh, actually that might be attractive in the portal. But then you break it down to here's what he's done since taking over for Brennan Armstrong this year, it's less impressive. It's hard to believe that a player can almost have this much power, right? It seems like the coaches would look at him and say, no, you're playing. Like you're here on scholarship. We're like you're on our team. You go in when we say go in.
Against that, I will say is that he was told before the season he's going to redshirt. And then when kind of things went sideways and offense wasn't looking good, they wanted him to bail them out on the season. So
he did.
And that's what we talked about back then, though, was does he even want to play? Like he may have wanted to redshirt. And I think the answer now is yes, he wanted to redshirt. So I could see from his standpoint of, you guys told me I was going to redshirt. Why can't I redshirt? I mean, you went against your plan. Why can't I go against your new plan? So,
I'll give you that.
There is a there's the team aspect of college football, but there is still an individual side of it that you also have to do what's best for you and your career. And you only have 4 to 5 years at this thing. And I think, you know, he feels this is what's best for him. How it's received by his teammates, I'm not sure. Again, I know he's well-liked. I'm sure it's hard for them. And then kind of the next step to this is I think the offense will kind of pick up where they left off, you know, with him as a quarterback, with Brennan Armstrong stepping in.
That's, like you said, the other side of this, and we'll bounce back and forth. But Brennan Armstrong, it's going to be a completely different vibe from the last time we saw him, right? I think – you know, I saw somebody on Twitter and it's a comical take on it, but with MJ Morris making this decision, there's going to be fans, and I'm not necessarily co-signing this, but there's going to be fans that consider what MJ's doing is selfish and it's me first and it's all these other things. So the joke was like, gosh darn it, we've been booing the wrong guy this whole time, because Brennan Armstrong, for all of the struggles he had on the field, has been like, I'll go out there for 2 plays and my body beat up, and I'll run the hard plays, right? I'm going to be professional about it when you bench me for the younger guy. When he goes in, I think the fans are going to kind of appreciate the fact that he's hung in there.
It's funny, like, how the tides have turned. Like, he's going to become especially depending on how he plays in the next few weeks. And unfortunately, it's not a home game, because I'm with you. I think when they trot out on the field for the first play, if it was at Carter Finley Stadium and they're like, now under center, quarterback Brennan Armstrong, I think the place would have erupted.
Yeah.
And part of that probably would have been a shot at MJ. But I think fans have come to appreciate him. I mean, that last week when he had the run on the left side, you knew it was going to be a big collision. And he kind of had a decision to make is, do I run out of bounds? Do I slide? Or do I almost take all my frustrated energy out on this guy? I'm going to do that.
He did like a little helicopter, went airborne. Yeah, I mean, he laid it all.
He weighed the wood, and unfortunately, he took the brunt of the hit as the other guy didn't fall to the ground. And like you said, he kind of did the helicopter. And I thought it was so cool. He had a long, you know, whatever, 53 and a quarter yard jog across the field. And the fans gave him a nice round of applause. And I thought that was great. And I'm sure for him, it was like, finally, like, I'm laying it all out for you guys, and I appreciate this response for the first time. So,
where you got to keep like the serious face on, but inside you're really smiling. Like, thank you. Right. It means a lot.
Yeah, but I was waiting for him to kind of get the crowd going almost. Like, you could tell that the crowd loved it. But, I mean, we got an away game at Wake and then in Blacksburg. So, unfortunately for him, he won't probably see that.
Now he has to play well, right? Now, if you play Wake, if you play well at Virginia Tech, then when you come home, it'd be that times 10. Correct. So, you don't think the offense will, if I'm picking up what you put down a couple minutes ago, you don't think the offense will change a bunch with him taking over?
What we said when they made the change to MJ is I don't think this offense is going to look all that much better with MJ. And honestly, it hasn't. I mean, it's all of a sudden they just started getting the ball to KC more often. And they got some guys healthy on the offensive line. So did the offense look better? Yeah, probably. But did the quarterback play improve? I don't think it necessarily did. So I'm sure Brennan was a little bit jealous that why did I get all these little easy completions to KC? And I just hope for the biggest thing for Brennan is he doesn't go out there and press and feel like I got a second shot. Now I got to live up to something. I hope he just goes out there with the mindset of like, I've already been benched once. How can this get any worse? Like, just go out, play with a free mind and have fun playing football. But I don't expect the quarterback play to drop from what MJ did, just because I think there's similar abilities between the two of them.
And so that's kind of the football of it. I do want to look at this from a modern college football landscape perspective. And, shout out to Ethan McDowell of the Wolfpacker, who he was the first that I saw that had the report. Some others have kind of blown it up more recently, but he also tweeted out like, hey, this is a good time to remind you, like, don't tweet at players. Don't reach out to them personally, because MJ Morris is going to catch a lot of heat, and there's going to be some fans that hide behind, you know, no profile picture and some name with 796549 all at the end of their handle. But MJ Morris is going to catch a lot of heat, and it's crazy that this is even possible, where especially when the assumption was that he'd be transferring. And obviously Eddie Morris, his dad, told WRAL Sports investigative reporter Brian Murphy that he's not leaving the program. The exact quote included he would have left in January or he would have left in May because he had plenty of options if he wanted to leave the program. But you know, with that being on the table, I'm just not sure we're like, actually, you know, I'll put your shoes, right? You're the number four quarterback in the country coming into NC State. You have to sit for 3 years behind Russell Wilson before you get your chance to shine. I'm not sure we see anything even close to that when you have a starting quarterback electing to redshirt and kind of keep all those options open. It's just, college football, I don't think is, you know, that's one of the few ways it's completely changed.
Yeah, it's completely changed. And, people always ask me, like, would you have left? And honestly, I don't know what I have.
You didn't even have to weigh that as a possibility because it was far-fetched.
And back then, or if the rules were what they are now, chances are yes. And honestly, what someone brought up to me, which I never thought of, is Russell probably would have left too, because he would have been offered all this money from another school too. So, who knows how it would have played out. But, yeah, it's just completely different. Honestly, I don't completely fault MJ for this. If, say, that the ACC championship was like NC State was – if they win, they get in, and then he decided to do this, I think that's wrong. But according to ESPN or one of these people, what do they have, like a 2% chance of actually making the ACC?
Like right now, they're just playing for – 1.4.
Right. I mean, they're playing for a better bowl game, and I don't know if that mattered all that much. I think the teammates will understand his vantage point because, like I said, he was told at the beginning of the season he was going to redshirt, and at the end of the day, that's what he's getting now. So I know times, you know, things change during the season, but just like coaches get up and leave before a bowl game, just like players are doing that now, it's become where people have kind of a selfish attitude towards it, which I don't completely agree with. There's definitely the team aspect. But there is an individual aspect to this as well.
So the reason I chose William Peace was because of their stellar game design program. It's very rare to find a game design program in the United States at all, let alone North Carolina. And this place seemed like the right place for me for where I wanted to go and the connections I could make within the program.
Turn your hobby into a career in one of the highest paid professions in the country with William Peace University's Simulation and Game Design program. Master design, 3D modeling, and programming in a state-of-the-art space with the latest and most remarkable technologies available. Find out more at peace.edu.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.
Let's look at it from Doran's perspective. Like 48 hours ago, the guy had the cigar post game. He's super comfortable. He's happy. He just became the NC State all-time wins leader of any coach in history. The reports are out there that he was hanging out with family and friends kind of in the locker, in the parking lot till the wee hours of the morning, soaking it up. And, you know, 48 hours later, the program is, I don't want to say the program's in disarray, but it's definitely shaken up a bit by this decision, right? Shaking up your quarterback is going to be a thing. But at the same time, you know, Wake Forest is a winnable game. Virginia Tech is a winnable game. North Carolina, you know, that rivalry is always a game that, you know, last year proved the crazier it gets, almost the better it is, or the more chance you have to win that one. You have 9 or 10 wins still out there. That's a good season, right? Dave Doran's never won double-digit games. You have to win out to do it, but the possibility is at least there. What are the challenges for him as far as just keeping everybody kind of rowing in the same direction? And we haven't even brought this up. The starting running back from earlier this year, Jordan Houston, made a similar decision. Now he is leaving the program, but kind of a mid-season, hey, I want to protect my eligibility, I'm going to redshirt. Like, this has now happened twice in the last month and a half.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge for him, you know, to kind of just get everyone on the same page. But I think that's what Dave does a great job of. I mean, he's been around this program so long. He's been through adversity. And I think the players respect him enough, and he's earned their respect that he's going to rally the troops and they'll be fine. And honestly, I don't know if disarray, like on the field to me, I think this is a lateral move. Like, I don't think there's going to be all of a sudden you go from like, hey, our offense is playing so well, like this is going to crush our offense. The offense isn't playing well. I mean, yep. With MJ at quarterback, I think you could really.
I think it's more of like a sociology shakeup.
Correct.
Right. It's correct. More it's of about a, the team. A who's the leader. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. I see that. But look, When I see the coin toss the last every week, Brennan Armstrong is the one that's the captain. MJ Morris isn't. So, look, Brennan's played. He didn't play great early, but he's a good enough player where I think the team will rally around him just like they did MJ. Honestly, I think it could have a similar effect. And seeing the way he handled the situation, he could have moped around, but he kept a positive attitude. I'm sure all the guys saw that way more firsthand than I did. And I think they'll probably respect that and want to go out and win for him as well, just like they did MJ when he kind of provided a spark. I think Brennan could provide a similar type spark this week.
The other thing, and I know I've said the other thing like 10 times because there's, you know, 15, 20 different angles on this. I just keep going. And the other thing is the name, image, and likeness of it all. You know, again, his dad said he's staying, but this is not just an MJ Morris thing. You have to re-recruit every, especially starter, on your team every single year, right? It's we've talked about it with Casey Concepcion. We've talked about it with others where you better make sure they know they're loved. You better make sure they're finding value in your program. You better make sure they're developing, or else they'll find somebody that will probably pay them better that can do all those things for them. So with MJ Morris right now, again, according to his dad, he's not leaving the program. He just wants to redshirt, wants to protect that year of eligibility. I get it, right? Hey, I didn't redshirt. I played 4 years of college, and I wish I could have gotten one more year on the back end. So I understand what he's saying. But what would, assuming that the little birdies are going to be out this offseason, whether he enters the portal or not, he'll know what his market value is because, you know, people talk. I'm struggling to find like how much other programs would want MJ Morris, right? For NC State right now, he's the guy that came in, kind of turned the season around, won 3 out of 4 starts, beat Clemson, beat Miami, made the throws necessary, sparked a little something, something. So there's some goodwill built up there. I'm not sure other Power Five schools are going to look at it the same way and think, hey, let's dip into our collective money, find a whole bunch of money to make sure we get this guy on campus for anything other than like, you know, he could be a guy to come in and compete. I'm not sure they're just giving him the job.
I 100% agree. And I'm not sure he's NC State's quarterback next year. And with that being said, if he's not NC State's quarterback next year, then what level quarterback is he? I mean, there was rumors that teams like Auburn were interested. What was on tape this year doesn't scream SEC, you know, like, and you talk about his numbers last year. He had 6 good quarters of football. He played a great second half against Virginia Tech, and he played great against Wake Forest. Against Boston College, it was okay. You know, like, it was
And last year, he still had, like, all of the potential and all of the
heat. Correct.
Like, you bring him in expecting to work with him. Now, he's a little bit older. He's put a little bit more on the tape. There's less of that.
He what Brennan Armstrong was last year at Virginia, where he struggled, it kind of reminds me of that a little. He had 2 years ago, he was really good. So is that what people are going to be saying? Well, this MJ Morris kid was really good as a freshman. Well, I mean, Brennan Armstrong threw for over 4,000 yards. MJ had 6 good quarters. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, I would be very interested to see what school, what that money is. But it's hard to blame them for trying to get more money because the NFL is not guaranteed. So you might as well make as much as you can while you're at this level. Like I said, just from what was on tape this year, played well against Marshall. Duke wasn't pretty. Clemson wasn't all that much. Miami, I mean, we're talking about 50% completion rate, and a lot of these are on shovel passes. I just, you know, comparing it to like the NFL free agency, like, okay, you did this 2 years ago. You're really only as good as your film last year. Like, we're not going to keep going back and watching the old film. Who are you now? And it just didn't look quite the same this year as what he did last year.
You can definitely tell we're a couple quarterbacks who they hadn't quite figured out the touch pass on the speed sweeps yet. We're going like, it's not even really passing yards. Cause we were handing that thing off and looking back, we should have gotten just a little tap and we would have been rolling in it. Last thing, and going back to NIL, last thing of this emergency pod, the Savage Wolves NIL tweeted out a picture of Brennan Armstrong. And the quote said, "No quit." The quit was all capitalized. In this fan base, .. LFG, we all know what that stands for. BA, which stands for Brennan Armstrong. I'll say that one. And then #Savage. They then deleted it, which I think was probably the smart move. But, you know, the internet's written in ink. Name, image, and likeness collectives, their roles in all of this is so baffling to me because, you know, tweeting that out and deleting it is very much like what you do when you're bitter and hurt, like your relationship. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I was better off just leaving it because then it's just like, hey, we're rallying behind our guy. You know,
it's like, you know, tweeting out some dramatic song lyrics after you're broken up with in middle school and then going like, oh no, someone's going to see this and deleting it. It's not quite that bad. I'm not like trying to make fun of them, but that's, like, that shows me they were involved, like, at some level where there was some kind of trust or there was some kind of just the role of name, image, and likeness almost in personnel decisions, the collectives, is a fascinating way to look, you know, fascinating lens to look at this situation through.
It is really interesting because, again, you can kind of compare it to the NFL now, and it's like, you know, you often get labeled as, you know, a guy wasn't worth the contract or whatever, and the first couple of games, you know, I don't know how much of these guys are making, but they clearly brought Brennan Armstrong in to pay him for the whole year. And he only ends up playing 5 games. Now he'll end up playing more. Now on the flip side, like come on, you also paid MJ, but he was supposed to redshirt. So, like, why does that matter? But it is fascinating just how much NIL has completely changed the landscape of college football. And I think we're just finding out new ways, like, because
but it also to use your NFL analogy, it also kind of like there is that separation. I think it's tough for guys like Belichick that try to do both. There is that separation where like coaches almost get to be the good cop, right? They just, hey, we're here to make you a better football player. We're here to, you know, you get your position coach gets to be more of like a coworker. Then the GM has to come with the business of it all. Like, are the collectives going to take over the, like, here's how much you're worth, right? You're worth $100K this year. There, you can test the market. You're not going to find $200K. And then the coaches just get to coach because, and if that's the case, then almost like, you know, MJ Morris gets to be running the scout team this year saying, hey, coach, I love you, but hey, you know, they're messing up over there. It's like that separation, right? You get to put that middleman.
I hope the collectives aren't deciding, aren't the cap space guys. I mean,
they're like, hey, we can't afford you right now.
In charge of divvying it out, but I guess technically, I don't think Doran is supposed to be in charge of who gets what either. I don't know. That's why this whole thing will be interesting to see for years to come what it evolves into, or maybe if it might dissolve. Who knows what's going to happen with it? It's just
fascinating. It would be hilarious if the name, image, and like, we don't have the cash.
I mean, it's like talk about, you know, it kind of makes me think of Jerry Jones, where you buy your way into the Cowboys and it's like you want to now have a say in personnel. Like if all of a sudden a bunch of really rich NC State fans essentially start picking the players, like,
oh yeah,
I don't know if that's the path we want to go down. That's basically real life fantasy football without actually knowing what true scouting is. But who knows? I mean, money has a lot of power. And if someone wants to write big checks, maybe they will have a say in who the next quarterback is here.
And Panthers fans everywhere say, did you hear that, David Tepper? That's a good way to end this emergency pod. Mike, we appreciate you as always. Everybody out there, follow, subscribe, share it with your friends. Pack Therapy Podcast everywhere you find your pods. Obviously, you're listening to this right now, so just hit the like, hit the subscribe button, comment if you see fit. We'll be back with the next Pack Therapy Podcast, hopefully with more answers than questions. See ya.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.